Would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 5? Psalm 5. We'll read from the opening verse of Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness, their throat is an open sepulchre, they flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. We know the Lord always blesses his word. We know that today is no different. And let's bow, please, in prayer. Dear Lord, as we have come through our service to this point, and we have been able to sing from our hearts. We've been able to pray and seek thy face. And now, dear Father, I pray that as we have this word open, that every heart would be open to thy word. The Holy Spirit will come with power. Speak through me, O God, I pray. In human weakness, yet in the power of thine own arm. And Lord, bless the hearing, and let the word not just be one that sits on the surface or goes in one ear and out the other, but, O God, let thy word sink into our hearts. Bless us, we pray today, and encourage our souls. We ask these things in our Savior's worthy name, amen. If you were to write a title on our text or our message today, it would simply be this: Rejoice, Christian, in the Lord. Rejoice, Christian, in the Lord. The text I want to draw your attention to this morning is the 11th verse of this psalm, and it says, But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. The Apostle Paul said in the New Testament that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not of this world, But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Therefore, we need not be deceived that the battle that we are involved in is a great one, and it is of greater importance than just a battle that takes place on a field. It takes greater precedence than any empire that might be conquered through the advancing of another army. And I say this because the conflict that the Christian is involved with is one that has to do with spiritual forces, spiritual enemies. And from the very beginning of time, Satan has placed his attack against everything that is right and good, everything that God calls holy and pure, and upon every child of God that he has redeemed by his own sovereign grace. The attack of Satan has been against us with the purpose of destroying everything that God has made good. So, this tells us we are in an unceasing conflict. How is the believer to survive? How, my dear friend, are you to survive today in light of all these things? Because we know that Satan is an enemy that is stronger, mightier than we are. We know that as we stand against him in our own strength, we will be defeated quickly. So what are we to do against this unceasing conflict? My friends, the only thing we can do is that we must turn our eyes upon the Lord. We must place all of our dependence upon him. Because with men, this is impossible for us to overcome, but not with God. For with God, all things today are possible. And you might find yourself this very morning in a state of great discomfort, in a state of mental or spiritual anguish, in a state where you're confused, not knowing the future or the way we are to go. And you might wonder in your mind, what is the hope? My friend, the hope is always where it ever has been and ever will be. The hope that we have is in Christ alone. It's in our God, and our eyes must be upon him. And this is exactly what David found when he was faced with enemies that were more than him, more than he was able for, more than all of Israel that were able for. And he says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. There is help and there is hope for us no matter what this life brings to us. And as we have been reminding ourselves recently that what comes by our pathway is by God's sovereign purpose. And the trial and the burden and the gift that he gives to the people of God, they are for our advancement, they are for our benefit, they are for our purification. And so, my dear friends, let us take that today and say in our hearts, by God's grace, we will, Christian, rejoice in the Lord. And the first thing I want to leave with you, the first point, if you're taking a note, is this. Trusting in the Lord is the basis of rejoicing. Trusting in the Lord is the basis of rejoicing. When we think of the word basis, we're talking about foundation. We're talking about that which you can build firmly on. And if you have a different foundation than the Lord for the point of your contentment, your satisfaction, your happiness, your rejoicing and joy, then you will be building a house upon the sand. You will be building a house that when the storm comes of life, and as the Lord Jesus reminded us, when that storm of life comes, and it most definitely will come, the house of your rejoicing will fall down. If it does not have the right basis. David said, those that put their trust in thee, they will rejoice. And so, my dear friends, today, trusting in the Lord is the basis, the foundation of our rejoicing. It is not going to be found in your friends. As good as friends are, and as necessary as friends are to have in our life, if you go to depend upon a friend in the time of need, you may find them helpful, you may find them supportive, but there's going to come a time when the friend will not be able to help you through the difficulty that you're in. You may look to family, and family are good, and we love to have family near us. But my friend, the center and the foundation of your joy is not going to be found in friend. It's not going to be found in family. And it certainly won't be found in funds or your money, because it may be increased, it may be decreased. But even if you have great increase, you may find that to try to put that as a foundation of your happiness, your satisfaction, your rejoicing, you'll find that to be an empty or a broken stick, and you cannot depend upon it. It will not support you in the time of need. And my friends, also, you cannot depend upon the future. You might have aspirations. You might have a goal. You might be a very calculating person. You've got the whole thing mapped out in front of you. But you will find that your security of rejoicing and joy cannot depend upon the plans you make for the future, because you don't know what a day will bring forth. If our foundation for happiness and peace is not centered in the Lord Jesus, if it's not centered in the God who has chosen us before the foundation of the world, then we will not have true lasting peace. The true Christian trusts in God and is safe. To trust in the Lord is to place your absolute confidence in His ability and in the Lord's willingness to save your soul from sin and judgment, and also to keep you in every circumstance of life. And is that the place where we are trusting today? There is a settled peace in the heart of every child of God to know that all is good when it seems that all is not good. You know, if Mr. Spafford had written in his hymn these words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, I'm not sure, I don't know if it's well with my soul." If that was the wording of the hymn, it would never have made its way into our hymnal. It would never have made its way to have such words of comfort and encouragement to the Christian church throughout many years. But what was it that enabled this man to say these words? He knew that Jesus Christ was the anchor of his soul. He knew that in the times of his greatest devastation, he could step out upon the Lord. He could rest and trust in Him. He could find his rejoicing, his joy, his solace, and his comfort in the Lord Jesus. And so he wrote these words, "It is well. It is well with my soul." Do you know today that God's peace, His comfort, His stability in your own heart? You know, those without Christ do not have this peace, because they do not trust in the God of peace. They may have resolve to get through hard times, or they may find ways to distract them from the pain that they are going through in any of the difficult circumstances of life. But sadly, and very often, the way that the world handles these things is either by alcohol, by drugs. It may be by other pleasures of entertainment. It may be by something they want to distract them. Either it's the power of positive thinking, something that will lead them to real happiness. But my friend, there is no true rejoicing in those times, because nothing that they are depending on will endure the test. None of those things will last. There is no true and real rejoicing and joy found in the things that are temporal, connected with this world, that we tend to manufacture and put in the place of the peace and joy and foundation of the living God. There is only one place, my dear friend, that you will find that security, that foundation, and that is found in your Lord Jesus Christ. If you are not possessing that peace today, if you do not know Him as your own Savior, then, my dear friend, I exhort you, I stand in the place of the Savior, and I would say to you today, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for you do not know the day or the hour of your death. Repent, for God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And therefore, my dear friend, today, if you are not built upon the foundation of the living God, you have no foundation of peace and joy in your heart. Have you tried? Have you tried the broken pipes of this world, the broken cisterns? And only to find that as you would stoop to drink at them, the water seems to dissipate. Or else as you stoop to drink at them, you find they are bitter waters. And you can't drink them to satisfy. As a matter of fact, if you take a drink of those waters, you will become sick. And so none of those things in this world will change the heart. They will not be able to satisfy the soul, because they do not deal with the most important thing, and that's the sin question of the heart. See, my friend, if you do not have Christ today, you are still standing in your own sin, and you're standing under the judgment of God upon you. And how can you rejoice in such a thing? How could you say, as David said here, there is rejoicing in my heart? There cannot be. If you come face to face with the reality of where you are standing before God outside of the Lord Jesus, then you are in great and everlasting eternal danger. And there is no such thing as joy in those things. But I say to you, after you have expended all of your effort and energy in all that the world has, then, my dear friend, you must turn to Christ. And don't waste your time and your life before you come to Him. But say, as the hymn writer did, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There is love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. So today, this morning, is it well with your soul? Are you in Christ today, or are you out of Him? Do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? You must set the Lord as the foundation of all true rejoicing. And then please notice with me, second, that rejoicing is for all God's people. Rejoicing is for all God's people. Now today you look up here at this pastor, and I look down at you in the congregation, and I see faces attentive to the hearing of the Word of God. But I cannot look into your soul. I cannot look and see, Are you rejoicing today or are you not? Is there something that's weighing you down and you can't seem to get the victory over this? And maybe in your mind, in your heart, you're saying, well, maybe I'm just designed and resigned to have a life that's filled with turmoil and anxiety, and joy is not for me. God has not given that benefit and blessing to me. It's given to other people, and they can have it, but I cannot have it. My dear friend, put that thought far out of your mind right now. That is not the will of God for you. It is not the will of God for us not to be filled with thankfulness and joy and peace in believing. Because rejoicing is for all of God's people. Look again, please, at Psalm 5, verse 11. It says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. And so today, if you are trusting in God as your Savior, if you have repented of your sin and called upon Him, if you are endeavoring by God's grace to live your life to the honor of His name, and you want to glorify and magnify the Christ that has saved you in your life, then, my dear friend, you are trusting in the Lord. And God is saying in His Word, all those that trust in Him rejoice. Now that does not leave you out, but that rather includes us all in what God has for us. You know, He is not a respecter of persons. When we think especially of the benefits of sins forgiven and of peace with God, that's not for some believers, but that, my dear friend, is for everyone saved by the grace of the Lord. And so if you have been born again this morning by God's free grace, you've been washed in the precious blood of your Savior, then you possess all the rights, all the benefits, all the merit of what the Lord Jesus has done on Calvary's cross. And you are not excluded from that. Because if you're truly saved, you are part of the body of Christ. If you are truly born again, then you are part of the family of God. And you have a right by the very authority of heaven. You have a right to take those possessions which God has given to His people. God intends for you to experience all His grace and blessings in your life because it is for all those that put their trust in God. Here's a point in our lives that must be emphasized, because though certain blessings, we could say, or talents or gifts may be distributed by God to His people, and He does that. We're told in the New Testament that Christ gave gifts unto men. He called some as apostles, some prophets, some pastors and teachers. He gave some the gifts of administration. He gave others the gifts of helps. So there are many gifts which the Lord gives, and they vary among the church. And that's the Lord's prerogative to do that. But you see, my friend, there are no degrees of justification. There are no degrees of sonship or being a child of the Lord. Either you are justified or you are condemned, and there's no middle ground. And what we have to get into our hearts and minds today to fully understand that truth is that because we are justified before the Lord by the work that Jesus did on the cross, and God looks on us now today through Jesus, His Son. And as He looks on us through the finished work of Calvary, He doesn't look upon someone as 95% justified. Oh, that person's only an 83%. They haven't quite arrived yet. Every single person that is truly born again of the Spirit of God, they are seen before the Lord as 100% justified, and there's nothing that you can add to that, and there's nothing that I can add to it. The Lord looks upon us and He sees us as a complete person. So, my friend, have you possessed today all of the rights and privileges of that blood relation? Do you have today joy and peace in believing in the Lord? This blessing that God has provided for us is not kept for those who are old or young or rich or poor, educated or unschooled. It is for all of God's children. And that means us today. Would you please notice with me, thirdly, that this verse speaks about continuous rejoicing. It speaks about continuous rejoicing. Let them ever shout for joy. Let them ever shout for joy. Do you know that God intends you to be always joyful? We have been memorizing in Philippians chapter 4. And though we did not go over it today in our service, the opening verse in 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say rejoice. And I trust that you are committing those verses to your own heart, because as you do so and pray over them, the Lord will bless you. As you're driving down the road in your car, and you will come with that verse of Scripture, "Rejoice in the Lord always," when things are not going the way you'd hope that day. Continuous rejoicing. That's what the Lord has for His people. I must confess, this is a hard one to apply. There are so many times in the Christian life that bring to us sorrow and sadness. It brings upset and grief, pain. That the idea of constant joy seems an impossibility. And yet when we are hit with the limitations of our understanding, let us trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding, because that's a perfect way to apply Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 at this juncture. Lean not unto your own understanding, for when the Lord tells us, all those that put their trust in Him will rejoice, and let them ever shout for joy, that speaks to us of a continuous nature of our rejoicing every day of our life. You know, the Lord Jesus, we are told, was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What power there is in that word. He was acquainted with grief. He had met grief head on. And He met grief more than once in His whole life. And the Lord, though He was a man of sorrows and He was familiar with grief, yet we are also told that He rejoiced in His spirit because there were things that He was involved with on earth that caused Him to be happy. He rejoiced when He fellowshiped with His children. He rejoiced when the mothers brought young children to Him and He set them upon His knees and He blessed them, and the Lord's heart was happy when He saw those things. There were many things that did cause the Lord rejoicing. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And so, my friends, when you feel the joy of Christ slipping away and depression creeping in, remember that the fountain of all truth and life is to be refreshed at the joy fountain of the Lord For the Lord promises to restore your soul. Does this mean that you will never be unhappy? Does it mean you will never be set aside because of the issues of life? Well, we know that that's just not the case. We know that there are things that are going to make us deeply sad. We know there are times when we are going to mourn in our hearts, maybe because of the loss of a loved one, maybe because of a wayward child. There are things in our hearts that are going to cause you, believer, to be concerned with. But the Lord knows all those details. He knows everything about that. But He still says in the midst of it, rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. What are you to do in those times when you're overwhelmed? You must come back to the foundation of your faith, to the foot of Calvary's cross, to the place where your Savior bled and died for you. He died there, friends, so that we might never perish, and so that we would have everlasting life. And today we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that hope that we possess, that joy of everlasting life that can never be taken away from us, that possession of heaven, that truth that we will not be ever separated from God in hell, that we have only eternity to look forward to, and the everlasting wonder of God shall continually be brought before us, and all pain and all suffering and all tears will be gone forever. That is our present hope. That's our present possession. And therefore, let the things of this life be seen through an eternal perspective. But you know, my friends, there are some things that can interrupt this continuous rejoicing. And the reality is that sin can and will interrupt that. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sin is what we would call a great robber. And it takes and steals our joy. It promises so much on the surface, but then it delivers so little. It is the inviting road, it seems, to all that's fun and pleasure-filled. You know what happens is that it will explode, leaving only carnage, leaving only wrecked lives in the way. Therefore, do not be surprised, my friend, when joy in the Lord is gone and you have only agitation and frustration, because once a person is truly saved, the world cannot satisfy. And if a true Christian goes back into the things of the world to indulge and enjoy, it is said in the Scripture, like a dog returning to his vomit, to eat again that which he has brought up. That's what the Lord says is like for a Christian to go back to the ways of sin. There can be no joy and no satisfaction there. It will be interrupted. But there's not just open sin. Sometimes in a Christian's life, it comes down to a point of disobedience here or there. Yes, I know that's sin, but it's sometimes qualified and in a more specific way, because when we go against the way of God, it may appear smooth. It may even have some attraction to the eye. We may even find that the doors open up for us in a strange way when you consider what Jonah did when the Lord told him to go to Nineveh and he went down to Tarshish instead. And what did he find there? A boat that was ready and waiting for him. He had money in his pocket to pay the fare thereof. And he sailed off on that ship. And it all seemed to be going according to the plan that Jonah had. But God came after him. And don't think just because circumstances seem to be going okay and the bottom hasn't fallen out of your world at the moment you disobey the Lord, that He's not coming after you and that you have not grieved his spirit. We are all guilty of that today. You think of what happened to King Saul in the Old Testament, how that by disobedience it cost him the kingdom. For after failing to obey the clear command of God, dealing with the Amalekites and Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and he failed to fulfill what God had told him to do, the prophet Samuel came to him and said, "Saul, it is better to obey the Lord than to sacrifice. Never mind all the things that you're going to do religiously or spiritually, and you think you're going to make up all the things where you have disobeyed. No, it doesn't work that way. Because God requires our obedience first, not trying to make it up with sacrifices. He requires us to listen to His Word, either than offering the fat of rams and doing the things that we so often do to try to smother the word of conscience that comes to us. We cannot disobey God and prosper. We cannot know His blessing, and we certainly will not know His joy. And sometimes there can just be downright laziness in attending to spiritual things. And this comes generally when people have been on the Christian road for some time. And the initial joy of salvation and the joy and pleasure there was in serving Christ, that seems to begin to wane a little bit. And people go on and become cold in heart and become, well, just a bit lackadaisical towards spiritual things. The proverb says a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, and before long the devil has sung us a lullaby and we are not walking close to the Lord anymore. And when we wake up from that stupor, we'll find the joy is gone because the fellowship has been broken. But you know, King David said, "I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me." There was an anticipation of serving the Lord in David's heart. There was an anticipation of being with His people. There was an anticipation of lifting his voice in song and praise and of shouting to the Lord with all his heart. Because the Lord, my friends, deserves the best that we can give to Him. The Lord deserves all our hearts, and if we are going to know continuous joy, we will know that only as we walk in fellowship with Him and pray that nothing will steal that joy away. So as we conclude this morning, we have noticed that trusting in the Lord is the basis of rejoicing. And that rejoicing is for all God's people, not a select few. And that means you this morning, believer. And then we're also told in this verse that there is continuous rejoicing. But notice how David ends this by the Holy Spirit. He speaks there about a shout of joy. A shout of joy. This expression, it means to sing aloud, to sing with all your heart to Him. Perhaps there's no better way, or at least no public way, that a Christian can express their joy and thanksgiving to the Lord but by singing. And we want to do so with all our hearts. We join our voices in praise because we want to join our hearts in praise with others who love Him. And there are many times when maybe you don't feel like singing. Many times you don't feel like praising God. Well, it's just at a time like that that we need to say, "No, I'm not going to allow the devil to have the victory. By God's grace, I, being a child of God, will say, as the people of the Lord, I have a right to shout and to sing. I have a right to rejoice in Him for all He has done for me. Let them that love Thy name be joyful in Him." Do you love the Lord this morning? This is the sum of everything, isn't it? For if we love Him, then we want to serve Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And as we love him because he first loved us, that defines the Christian experience. Love for God, love for the Lord Jesus, love for one another. And as that love increases, so the joy will increase. And as we trust him more, so our joy and rejoicing will increase exponentially. I pray, dear friends, that we will find our heart's fulfillment in him. And if you have to say today that I've lost out, I've kind of gone away from the Lord, I'm not walking with him as I used to, not walking with him as I should, what do you do? You simply bow your head in humble prayer and you say, "Oh God, come and restore the joy of thy salvation in my heart." And I say to you sincerely and earnestly this morning that if you humbly seek the Lord and pray that prayer, he will answer you. He will cause the return of his joy to your heart. He will restore your fellowship with him. Confession, prayer, the Lord will come to answer the need of your heart today. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Just before we conclude our service with prayer, I'd like to just invite anyone who has felt the Lord speaking to their heart regarding salvation that you would wait behind after the service today, and we will speak to you if you like. We will show you from the Bible how you can know the joy and peace of sins forgiven. And believer, also it applies to each one here. If you've kind of gone away from God a bit, backslidden, seek him with all your soul. Pursue him with all your heart. And you will find that the Lord, he always responds to that sincere and genuine heart. And he will respond to you today. Father, take this word, I pray, this morning and write it upon each of our hearts. Lord, there's not one of us here that is better or different from another in this great need. So I pray that we will be able to see things in life through thy providential purpose. Dear Lord, part us now in thy fear, with thy blessing. Keep us in the Spirit on thy day. Bring us back again to the house, thy house tonight, looking for and expecting thy blessing, and then as we meet around thy table after that. So hear our prayers now today and be with us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.